But I'm looking for the best thing. I didn't come here. I didn't come here for nothing but what he sent me here for, number one. But when I figured out that I was here for something, I don't want to be mediocre at that. I don't want to leave anything on the table. I heard somebody say the other day, there's a gap between our faith and God's ability. And so because we don't stretch, and because we don't put enough faith out, we've got it, but we don't put all of ourselves out on the table, we leave so many things on the table that God had prepared on that table for us, but we won't partake of them because of the lack of our faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. The measure that you meet is measured to you. You get it? I can go principle so sparingly, reach sparingly, right? I can go principle after principle. It depends on what you're putting out, what you're getting out. You get it? I don't know, ma'am. I don't know how often you do, and maybe we don't, but I think about my mortality. I think about how much time I don't have. Right? I know we're going to live a long time, but you could live to be 155 and it'd be a little spit in the time of eternity. Your little age or whatever it is ain't nothing but a little compared to eternity. So what is it that you plan on allowing the Father to establish through you while you're here? You came here as a builder. You came here as an establisher. You didn't come here to be religious. He didn't send you here to be religious or to be full of rhetoric. So I'm saying that sometimes there are things that you know. And they're good. They're good for the time being. Baby food is good for babies. Ain't it? And I'm sure it probably could sustain a few grown people. Enough of it. But I'm not sure how profitable it is to a grown person. And I'm not sure how much nutrients a grown person can get out of some baby food. I mean, your body may not even get strong. The Bible talks about milk and meat. Yeah? And so it's to a point to where you have to grow from the milk and begin to be able to take strong doctrine. But that strong doctrine is going to demand something of you. There's no revelation you're going to pick up in this Bible about anything that's not going to demand more from you. Right. We can just get over trying to do the magic trick and work a principle and say, hey, go do it. No, it's going to cause you to put your head on the line. It's going to cause you to get on the prayer. Not pray a prayer and go send it out, do something. You go do it. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? You do it. Not to lay nothing on the altar, lay yourself on the altar. Gone are the times where we can do these empty gestures and be congratulated for them. Doesn't that sound like church? Come on, amen. Come on, y'all. We do a lot of gestures and we congratulate each other. Look at you, you blessed. Prove it. Look at you, you anointed. Prove it. You gift, prove it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so now we're at a place now where I'll say this a lot and I'll say it again. The thing that I love about Jesus, and we're going to say read this in a minute. The thing that I love about Jesus so much is that he did not talk it, but he walked it. It was no problem with him talking it, but he walked that exact thing that the man became obedient unto death. That's what I'm trying to tell you. How many things we've learned? How many Christian things we've learned? And you know, you do it like this and do it like this, and you say it like this, and you stand like this, and you hold your hand like this. Get up one time, get down two times, kneel three times. How many things have we learned? Prayer 21 days, prayer 32 days, 52 days, 100 days, fast this many days, do this many. And all those things are cool. I'm not knocking the thing, but it still sometimes can be baby food according to your growing up. Sometimes, see, rules are great, but rules don't teach you how to love God. They'll point you and line you up in the right direction. Say, oh, these lines on the road, these red lights and these stop signs and these yield signs do not teach me how to drive. They give me some guidelines on flowing on that road, but at the end of the day, I got to know how to drive. My father taught me how to drive defensively. You ever heard that? Yeah, I don't know how to drive. I got to know when I got to swerve. I got to know when I've got to beat something at a certain time. Are y'all getting me? And so we learn a lot of rhetoric and a lot of ritual and a lot of religion, and we've made ourselves weak. Not so much because, now here it is, you ready? Not so much because we learned that, but it's that we stayed there. We stayed at come on, in your first grade forever. Come on, imagine it. This is first grade forever. You know, never, first grade. We ain't talking about graduating, you just first grade forever. Just stay there. And are you happy because you're making A's in first grade? You took the class 10 times. I guess you would be the smartest in the class. You've been here for 10 years. You get it? And then we become superstar Christians. When the new one come in, we like, no, you don't sit like that. No, you can't sit over here. You have to sit over there. That's where the new ones sit over there. Don't wear that now. Don't. Come on, y'all know we the best at that. We the best at trying to tell somebody how to do church. And there's a scripture in Ephesians 4, and I'm working backwards. And he says, let me get to what I want to say. Verse 20. See verse 20? Read it. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, it doesn't say learned about Christ, which is one of our problems also. So we know a lot about Jesus, but we don't know Jesus. You get it? Apostle told me something yesterday, and he said it in church yesterday, but then he said it again at the table. He said, we're going from living off the parable to living on the mystery. We've got to go from living. The parables are great. And you can learn a lot of common things and great things, better than normal things, from the parables. But then on the inside of those parables, I found something. I found out that when I search, I find. Bible says, seeking, you'll find. I found out if I search, if I take enough time to search, which is what we don't do enough. Amen. Come on, y'all. We skim, we script, and we do all those different things, but we don't really search that much. We don't sit still long enough. Right? But I found out when I do it and I begin to look for Christ. See, my goal and my objective is to learn Christ, because the more Christ I see, the more me I see. Are y'all understanding me? So my goal is to learn Christ. So now when I'm going in there, I'm learning Christ. And every time, let me tell you something. You can see Jesus doing something, and it'll be plain and simple what he's doing, and you think you know that scripture. But if you stay with it a little while, you always see a mystery. It's like layers. It's like, whoa, I didn't see that layer under there. And, oh, that's what you really meant, Jesus? Oh, you were talking about me? You get it? And it becomes, but you have not so learned Christ. If you jump up a couple of scriptures, it starts talking about verse 70, this I therefore and testify to the Lord that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk. Gentiles. This is a cool little word at that time. We don't call nobody Gentiles now. Sometimes we call them Gentiles because when we be saying heathens and sinners and all the other little words we try to use that don't touch us. Although you was a little heathenish yesterday. Amen. Right? And all these separation words that we use. You know, most of those words are for us to feel better. I'm going to be honest. Can we be honest? A lot of those words are just for us to feel better about our cleanliness. Look at those heathens, sinners, streetwalkers, whatever words the new word that you come up with. Just try to pat us on the back. I don't care about that. God don't care about that. I don't care about your definitions and all that. But the Gentiles. as the Gentiles, having walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, the vanity of their mind, the vanity of their mind, the vanity, the vain. You're so vain. I bet you think, you know, right? You, the vanity of your mind. Let's see, what is my mind can be vain? Can I be vain in my mind? What does it mean for me to be vain in my mind? What does it mean for me for there to be vanity in my mind? First thing I start seeing is the Gentiles walk. They want, and I got another scripture in Matthew 6 talking about all these things that the Gentiles seek. Let me finish reading this. Vanity of the mind. Vanity of the minds. Having the understanding darkened. All right, being alienated from life, from the life of God, through what? Now the root word of ignorance is what? Ignore. That is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with what? Greediness. Greediness is not just money. Greediness is just me. Sometimes your prayers are greedy. Most of our prayers are greedy, actually. In verse 20, here we go. But you have not so learned Christ. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We've learned a lot of things. Think about all the things you've learned in life. We learned some stuff, boy. Good and, right? Like we learned some stuff. We learned some script. Y'all learned some scriptures? Huh? We learned some fairy tales. We learned some subjects in school. Some of them we remember, some of them we don't. Amen. Amen. Most of them I don't. Amen. We learn a lot of stuff about Christ. Do we know Christ more than we know anything else? Could you say that right now? Could you say, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And if your answer is no, which is all of our answer, amen. If your answer is no, right, let's be honest before you get to thinking, well, yeah, I kind of know. We about 50-50. No, you're not. Stop lying. Right there. That need to know more Christ right there, just because you're thinking that way. Right? Then it does something for your function. I would imagine that it should, that if I know more of other things, I know how to be a mother or a brother or a sister or a father or a friend or a church member or I know how to do that better than I know how to be Christ. I don't really need to be doing nothing else at this particular moment in my life. I don't need to take on no more responsibilities. I don't need to take on nobody else's problems for this moment. I don't need to do all these other things that we're doing to validate our Christendom, our churchness. Because I can't be the church until I be Christ. It is the rock and the foundation. Everything else, I'm just spinning my wheels. Trying to do the right thing, but ain't getting nothing done. Are y'all seeing me? Has it ever felt like that before? You prayed all the right prayers. You went through the one-year devotional. You read all the Proverbs, 1 through 31, all of them for every day. Right? You did all those, right? You said the Our Father prayer every day. Then you said the Ephesians prayers every day. You memorized them. And we did all the little stuff that we were supposed to do. And then we start saying, God, I did everything they told me to do. What's going on? You're not so learned. Christ. See, the vanity of the minds. I got to stay here for a minute because I start to think about all the things that I know and all the things that I learned. And then now listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says, in all that I get and get what?
Understanding.
But, so what is my understanding? Understanding is simply what's under your standing. What are you standing on? What is the foundation that you're standing on? Christ is the concrete, remember that. But what's the foundation that you're standing on? What is it that you built your life upon? You can build your life on good deeds and somebody gonna come blow that over. Because all it takes to blow good deeds over is one bad one. Listen to me, hold on. No, this real spill. Let me tell y'all something. I've seen preachers that do the marvelous things for the last 20 years. And they make one mistake, and they're hanging. We have not so learned Christ. You did a bunch of good things in a row. You prayed 20 days in a row. You ain't prayed it hard the 21st day. Because you built it on that, you felt like you was a failure. I started asking myself, you cannot build your faith. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Listen to me well. You cannot build your faith or your faith walk on people, on things, on organizations, right? On principles, right? Those are cool too. But then, you can't build your faith on a principle. Your faith, your lifestyle, your walk, the truth about who you are can only be built on the personality, which is Christ.
Right.
See, all those other things that I list will fail you. You can try to build your faith on something that I taught in this class. You say, well, you know, Brother Montrell taught this and that. It doesn't matter what Brother Montrell taught. What did Sister Robin get? Where's Christ in there? And the seven sons of Stephen, in the name of Jesus and Paul, and Peter, I know, but who, Jesus, I know, who are you? If you don't know you, you ain't got no time to be going out casting nothing out.
Right.
You need to cast you out.
Right.
How many things we learned? How many things we built our faith on? What you built your faith on? You built your faith on Bishop? You can't build your faith on Apostle? Listen to me. He know that. Your faith cannot be built on... It's got to be built on the personality of
Christ.
Now we know in Ephesians 4, the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, they teach us how to build on Christ. That whole chapter 4 talking about till we come into the unity. Till we grow up into him in all things. But you're setting yourself up for failure. By building up on the little story that you heard when you was younger. Or your little moment that you had. And that's cool. God bless your moment. But your faith ain't built on that moment. Because I'll show you had a moment. I'll show you 20 moments that you didn't have. That'll shake your faith. Y'all know that? Come on, man. As soon as we have a good moment, like, yeah, but I'm in the spirit. The next minute, like, I'm totally out of the spirit. I don't know what this spirit is that I'm in right now. Right? And my faith is not built on any of those things. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And it goes on to talk about, it explains that type of faith. Somebody loved, he loved, gave himself for me. Giving myself up. And the vanity of the mind of Gentiles, right? And Matthew 6 says, therefore, verse 25, therefore I say, take no thought. Now listen, I, Jesus is very absolute. Now, and we're still talking about church here, all right? But it ain't no church without you, right? And the reason church is usual, because you usual. Okay, we don't want to own it. Can we own it? Come on, let's say the reason. Come on, say it. Say the reason. Come on, say it like read. Come on, say the reason that church is usual. Say it like me.
Usual
is because of me. I
vowed
the church
to be usual.
Because I allow myself to be usual. These are the first places that you start. I was walking up the class just now and I used a mirror and said, I don't need a mirror. And I walked out and said, everybody needs a mirror. I don't care how together you think you got it. I got a question. Yeah, your mirrors, Everybody say mirrors. Everybody say mirrors. You ever thought you had it all the way together? No. All right, no. You ever thought that? You ever looked in the mirror and was like, yep. I'm going to kill him today. This the one right here. I'm in front of people a lot. So and then I can go in front of people, so I can go back and watch it. So you be thinking, I'll be like, yeah, I'm out here killing, man. I remember I preached one time, I said, whoo, boom, whoa, boy, that message right there. And I went back and I tried to watch it and my tie was like this the whole time. I mean, one time tie was like this, my shirt was out of pants. I said, I thought I was killing them. I thought I had everything together. You walk out of the house, thought you was good, and you had a big old booger, you know, and nobody tell you. And ain't nobody tell you. That's the big thing. They sit there and talk to you like, yeah. And you know, they look, try looking in the eye, but they can't look in the eye. They can look at your nose. That's the truth. Then when you get in the car, you see you got it, and be like, hey, well, I would call people, me. I'd be like, hey, yo, how long you talk to? You saw the booger in my nose, my left nostril? Did you see it? Why you ain't tell me? What is wrong with you? You feel bad? You was embarrassed for me? Well, I was embarrassed for me, too. I had the booger, bro. Come on, man. Help me. I love me like you love yourself, man. Right. Got to see yourself. Find yourself. Jesus is very absolute about finding yourself. He's very absolute. He was very enabling. He's always enabling. He's never taking anything from you. He's always giving something to you. He's never telling you what you're not. He's always telling you who you are. This is what I'm trying to tell you. He's always telling you what you can do and not what you can't do. Jesus didn't preach a lot about sin. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you, because he knew that he would have victory and power over sin if you knew who you really are. So he didn't go telling you rule book. Law, the law did that. The law kept on telling you what you can't do, what you can't do, what you can't do. Thou shalt not, 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 thou shalt not. They kept on telling you what you not do, but it never really told you what to do. It tried to tell you a little bit in Deuteronomy. That thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, but he didn't finish it. Deuteronomy didn't finish it, because he couldn't finish it. Right. You remember, I was on vacation one time, and I just got fed up with vacation. Everybody be looking for a vacation. Well, my vacation coming the next week. I was like, when can I get back? Then I started looking up vanity and vexation, because I felt like all of it was vanity and vexation. Then I started reading, and I finally started reading the scripture. We don't go there too much. I started reading, and then Solomon started talking. You know, Solomon, wise in the world. Right. Until Jesus. Right. And Jesus said, the wiser than Solomon said, he made the point. Solomon began to read and he started saying, you know, I did all this stuff, I did all these things, and I lived my whole life, and I gathered all these things, and I do this, and I do this. He said, but it's all vanity and vexation. Vanity. Vanity of their mind. Huh? Mm-hmm. He said, and it's vex. And Solomon couldn't get to the end of that road. Solomon was so vexed because he had a almost mind of Christ-like mindset, but he couldn't get to the end of it because Christ wasn't here yet. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He wasn't finished. And so he's trying to get there, but he can't get there. He's trying to get over that hump, but he can't get there. He's trying to do that thing, but he can't get there. So not. They keep saying not, but we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. From that time Moses came under the Ten Commandments up until Jesus, we didn't know what to do. We just knew what not to do. You ever thought about that for a minute? But you still live like that. See, the ignorance of the modern church is to still live like we're in the former temple. We're still very lawful. Remember now, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. See, principle of personality, right? You cannot walk in a principle without the personality. A principle is empty without the person. That's why the word was made flesh. Well, John says at the beginning, the word was made flesh, because these words are nothing unless somebody's living them. John 5:39, we don't have to go there, write it down. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, but you will not come. Jesus talking. You will not come all the way to me. Search the scriptures. I'm cool. Do that. But they're telling you about the person of Christ. You have not so learned. You learn a lot of scriptures, but you ain't learned. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So now, we don't know what not to do. We know, but we don't really know how to function. So Jesus comes with a very absolute message. And it's very clear. And I don't know, I wonder day by day, and some days I have to just slow down from thinking about it just so I won't frustrate myself or whatever. But I wonder how we get so left field with our religion and our Christianity. I wonder how we've lived so long bypassing Christ. Oh, y'all give me scripture. I saw y'all on subjects, but you give me scripture on marriage. Give me scripture. Oh, there you go. Healing. You can throw me a scripture out there, right? Money. You can throw me a scripture out there, right? Praying in tongues. You can throw me a scripture out there. You can throw me a bunch of scriptures from a bunch of different places and a bunch of different preachers. But most of the time we bypass Christ. Y'all know we do. This scripture says, you cast down imaginary high thing, it's also against knowledge of God and bring to obedience. And it says, bring to the obedience every thought, to the obedience of Christ. How many of them? Every single one of them. Your favorite ones, bring them to the obedience of Christ. Christ is very absolute. It's very clear. He's very enabling. He's very loving. Telling you exactly who you are and who he expects you to be. He tells you exactly what he expects you to do. Look, I'm going to the Father right now. But the works that I do, you do also. And greater works than these. I'm going to the Father. I'm out the road. But y'all got it. You can do it. But if for some reason after this moment, and we've read that scripture before. Haven't you read that scripture before? But how close is it to your heart? How true is it to you? Do you really think you can do the works that Christ do? No hurrahs for a minute. No hurrahs. No hallelujah hand claps. None of that. None of the hype. Right? Do you really think you can do? Because if not, what do you do with that scripture? How long you sit there with that? Quietly. One of the things about Jesus and you can't get past him. There's no wiggle room. You can't get around him. When you meet him, when you meet Christ, that's the life you got to live. There's no alternative. And it's the one you've been looking for forever. Mm-hmm. Listen to me well. You meet Christ, you really meet him? It's the one you've been looking for. This is the life that I've been endeavoring to live forever. And I've gone to school and I've gotten in relationships and I've done all these different things looking for this thing to fulfill this place. And this is the life that I've been looking for the whole time. When you really come to the knowledge of the Son of God. And then he begins to tell you, it's totally enabling. You can do it. Then he be clear. Then he says, the works that I do. Shall you do also, and greater works, than going to my Father. That's not taking them for face value. What is it that you're trying to get me to do, Jesus? I'll be that. It's very absolute. He gets to talking. He says, the vanity of the mind, right? You've not so learned Christ. You learned the vanity. You learned the vanity of Gentiles' minds, but you've not so learned Christ. Can I free you right quick? I can't hear you. Can I free you real quick?
Yes, sir.
Most of the things you're praying about, most of the things you're worried about, most of the things you're concerned about are man-made concerns. You ain't got enough money. Well, who made money? Not God. Man made money. And it made you circle yourself around it and now your bills and your house note and this and this. And so now you concerned and caught up to go work for that man-made idea, to pay another man-made idea, to keep another man-made idea for man-made ideas. And now you all worried and caught up on something that God wasn't even talking about. The Bible talks about unrighteous mammon. Right? You know what unrighteous mammon is, right? It's money. You know why I call it unrighteous mammon? Because it has no right standing with God. Okay, I'll prove it to you. Ready? The gate's made out of pearl. You ever heard that before? Yeah. And you walk on gold. I don't care. When you're giving, he's looking for you. Because where your treasure is, that's where you're. How much stuff did y'all you worried about that God ain't got nothing to do with? He deal with it because of you. But if you flip it around, you'd be a dominator. If you understood that you're standing on top of it. You just don't understand that you're standing on top of it. So you begin to pray prayers about these things. Those ain't the prayers you're supposed to be praying. So 95% to 99.999% of your prayers are for things that really have nothing to do with the overall will of God. There's really these things that should be being added. I wasn't even trying to get over there, but it's in the same scripture, Matthew 6. So he tells me this. This is what he tells me. And it's in red. This is what he tells me. Can y'all listen to me? This is what he tells me. It's church. Right? That's why we can't help people grow. Or we can't really love people because we love your neighbor like you, but you don't love yourself. You can't. Or you can, but you're going to do it just like you. Whatever you call that, you're doing to yourself. Right? And the only reason you're doing that to yourself is because you haven't loved the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. So I found out what the word soul really means. I ain't got time to go there, but I'm doing some studying about how much stuff we lose in translation with the King James Bible. God bless King James. But we lose so much in translation, and we begin to think of things. And I don't have time to go into it. But just the word soul, you know, all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your might and all that. Cool, all that's in soul. That means the very fiber of your being. Everything that you got. You love the Lord, your God. With that. What's the greatest commandment? There it is right there. Pretty absolute. It's absolute. It's really no wiggle room in there, but Mike, it's not. It's just pretty straightforward. Jesus is pretty straight. I don't know how we've gotten on these side streets. How we bypassed so much Christ with doctrines. Then Ephesians 4, and I don't have time to go there. I can put these two scriptures together, Ephesians 4 and Matthew 6, but I keep going back and forth. But he says, by the cunning craftiness, deceit of man, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. He's speaking the truth in love. And so we picked up, I have to use it because the Bible uses, you know, of course, you know, we don't use the word Gentile, right? You ain't last time you call somebody a Gentile. Not never, right? But we have, the Gentiles represent a certain mindset. It represents a mindset of non-covenant with the Father. It represents a mindset of searching after something else other than who you are. So here you go searching after this and running after that and chasing after this and trying to get that and trying to accomplish this and this and that. But all these things do the Gentiles see. And it was funny. Jesus started saying, I know you got need of all these things. It's cool. I know you want to stay in your house. I know you need to pay the bill or whatever, right? I get it. Represent that mindset. But we based our faith on it's not a real word, but it's about to be one. Gentilism. Oh, no. Your worlds have been framed by society. No. The worlds were framed by faith. No. Your world has been framed by society. And it's not till you own that up will you get off the grid.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if everybody wants to get off the grid. Because sometimes getting off the grid ain't that comfortable. Sometimes getting off the grid means I got like, Hey, man, if you really were being church as Jesus, if we were really being church as Jesus perceived it and planned it and wanted to really be, I'm not quite sure if it will look like things look right now. I'm not quite sure your individual situation looks like that. I was laying down there and looked up and said, I'm trying to live something that ain't meant for me to win. Because my prayers are going towards all this stuff that society told me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wait on that one for a minute. All my prayers, all my confessions, all my walks of faith, and all my everything is built on what the world around me told me was the thing. Then what's funny is that you can take scripture and make your carnal things make sense. Yeah, that's why the scripture tell. All right, yeah, amen. Everybody say amen. That's why I say certain scripture and anything else, but come all the way to Jesus. The spirit that quickened, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak into you, they're spirit, and they're like John 6:63, right? Yeah. Come all the way to me, though, because when you come all to me, you get the unadulterated pure version. But you can take them other ones without the personality of Christ and start trying to build your society life. He said, when you pray like this. How you told me to pray? Here's how to pray. You pray like this. How you told me to pray? What do you say? Huh? I can't hear y'all. Come on. Simple prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy ways of doing things come. Thy will be done. Where? Not on. So give us and forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. Why Jesus praying? Lead us not, because Jesus knew he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil right after he get baptized. Right. So like, don't do that to me again, Father. Don't do that to me again. I can handle it, but just don't put me over there. But deliver us. That's how simple that prayer is. Now, you learned that prayer when you was little, didn't you? How many of y'all learned that prayer when you was younger? But you didn't know what you was talking about, did you? And we was on earth all day long. Oh, we on the earth. Me too. It's a simple thing. Where our prayers been going? So he says this. It's pretty absolute. It's pretty clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Y'all see that? What color? Okay. So who's that? I just want to make sure we know who's talking. That's the same Jesus that died for you, right? He's the same one, and looking unto Jesus, the author. Is that the same one? The same one that's the author and finisher. Is he the same one that died and shed the blood and got up? Right? He's the same one, right? He's big brother, right? Right. He's saying Lord of Lord, right? He's the same one at the name of every knee shall bow. Is that the same one? Okay, then so he got some clout. That guy got, hey, when that guy speaks, I don't know though.
Yeah.
Right. We look over it all the time.
Right.
Jesus still teaching.
Right.
Y'all knew that?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever, and so we use that for whatever it is. But it's saying right now, he's still doing what he do.
Right.
In you. He's still teaching you. Christ is still standing on the pulpit of your heart teaching you. Question is, are you listening? Question is, are you taking notes on your heart? Question is, are you following the instructions? He's right there preaching. I ain't preaching right now. Christ preaching.
Right.
Just what I'm saying. So can we conclude that guy got some clout? So when that guy speaks, and don't answer me yes or too fast on this one, but I just want to make sure, because once again, it's a church thing. Yep, amen, we got it. Yep. And then we answer quick. But that, so that guy has a right to be listened to. That guy, when he that guy talks, he deserves. You deserve it. Right? He deserves for us to really adhere and hearken and listen at the expense of everything else and everyone else. Yeah. So y'all can answer me now. Can we agree on that? Okay. You sure? No. Tell me now. Because tell me now if you sure about that. All right, because I love places like this in the message. There's no more wiggle room. I found that the Word of God does this. Come here. Stay on that wall right there. And see, like, when you really got a word from the Lord, when you really hearing Jesus, you think it feels like this. Oh, Jesus is walking with me. And we're just laying hands on people. No, I'm gonna show you what it wanna show you really like. This is really what it looked like. See, and we don't want to do this, but it really looked like this. I'm putting pressure on this boy's neck right now. This is what it looked like. It's going to hem you up on the wall to where you ain't got no wiggle room and you feel like you're about to expire and breathe out, but you need to breathe out all that junk. All that need to die. See, become a, let this mind be also in Christ Jesus, who thought not robbery to be equal to God, who made himself no reputation, and humbled himself even as a servant, and so and then became obedient unto death. We don't want to die. We want to lay hands on people and start ministries and preach and be called Reverend such and such and be patted on the back for super Christians. We don't want this. Grab you and slam you up on the wall. Boom! Until you don't move. This is what we're doing. Boom! This is what we're doing right here. You ready to fight me? That's what Jesus do. Hem you up. Hem you up where you can't move. That's what it feels like. And there's no wiggle room. The only thing you can do is die. The only way out is dying. Thank you. The way to victory is death. That's amazing to us. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that everybody wants the resurrection, but nobody wants to be crucified. It's amazing. So the nail here. Ooh, that hurt too much. Let me go back. I don't want to do this one yet. So the first whip. Nah. I quit. I ain't him. I ain't the son. I like this part. This part of like a message. Just get you to the point where you can't, because I'm getting some. We're taking ownership for life, right? And I was saying this should be listened to. When he speaks, Jesus is still teaching, and when he's teaching, we should listen, right? Not just on Sunday or Wednesday or on Monday or Tuesday, but all the time, because all that time belongs to him. So he should be listened to, right? Right? Yeah. That's how we be. You don't do it on purpose. I guess he should be listened. No.
Yeah.
No, answer me with your strong voice. With your strong, amen. This is what I want. I want your voice. I want the 33. I want that voice when you say you about to be delivered, and everything gonna go right, and then you are a chosen generation, and God has blessed you, and dead freedom. And I want that voice right there, all right? Yes or no? Okay, because we be tripping. So you listen, verse 20, 25. Y'all see? Therefore I say unto you, then what he said? How much thought? I'll take none. Don't you take none. Stop packing them thoughts for your life. Don't take none of them on the trip. Take no thought For what? Your life. Or what? You shall eat. All is you. I ain't see that just now. And what? You shall drink. Uh-oh. Go a little deeper. Not yet for your... Oh, what you gonna put on? That cover everything up for us, huh? Y'all know it. We... And we don't be nothing else. We're gonna be fed. We're gonna make sure we eat today. We're gonna make sure we got... Take no thought for those. Is not life more than, and the body more than? So talking about the birds, and then we're going to jump a couple of scriptures. Then he go back to verse 31. He started talking about this plane, and he says, what again? Read it. Ready, read. How much? So he going to say it another way, so now because you're going to get a question. What are we going to eat? What are we eating at, y'all? Right? What shall we drink? Verse 32. But for your heavenly. Verse 33. When you do it? Well, when you do it? Who should do it first? You. You seek it first. Kingdom of God. And all these. Then he go back to verse 34 to make sure you know what he's saying. You've not so learned Christ. Go back and read Ephesians 4. We'll put Ephesians 4 in Matthew 6. Just read it together. You have not so learned Christ. We're so caught up. We're so caught up with what people wearing that we don't put nothing on them. We're so caught up with what we're so caught up with what people are wearing that we don't clothe. Well, we don't. Amen. All right. Amen.